We are back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like, wow, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. I mean, I love it here. And this show, like, we go way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Text lines just went boom, and I'm not sure what happened. Brian from Huntsville jumped on my La Monroe thing. He says, Saban had an excuse for the La Monroe loss. He was concussed from driving into a log going to Tuscaloosa. What is he talking about? Was that real? Did he have a wreck?
I believe so.
Oh.
I don't remember, but I'll have to look it up.
Okay. Maybe Hugh Freeze hit a log. I don't know.
Maybe he did.
Maybe so. All right. Jerry from Decatur says, Roll Tide and Airborne. There you go, Jerry. Thank you. TL from Huntsville sent me a meme, and it has it has Aubie the Tiger taking a timeout with his head against the wall. Anyway, David from Lincoln says, stores lose money on card transactions unless they pass it on to you, like $2 to $3. Wow. There's a lot of them, though, that do pass it on to the customer now. And it's like in the fine print on your receipt or something like that. Just be advised. Brian S. from Huntsville said, had to chuckle a little when I heard y'all having to go back as Auburn fans to something that happened a decade ago to soothe yourselves. Roll Tide. You know what? Now it's just getting ugly. That was just mean-spirited.
They're coming after you now.
That was just mean-spirited. This is where my granny would say, now y'all play Purdy. This is just saying. Brian B. from Athens sends me a meme, and I can't look at it. So he says, share it with Phil. Phil's looking at it, but I can't go watch a Facebook video right now. So, but thank you, Brian B. Roger from Ardmore says, Toyota Field is card only. I think it's unfair to people that don't use plastic. Well, okay. I agree. I think it's disturbing that cash is becoming more difficult to use, because when you get away from a cashless, when you go to a cashless society, they can turn you off. I mean, they can't take the money out of your pocket, so to speak, but they can turn off your card, and that's a scary thing. And just so you know, before I jump into the topic, Boomer, you'll be gratified to know that John from Huntsville says, Boomer, you get 5 extra credit points for guessing my top secret strategy, but I'm a little nervous that my strategy won't work this week because it's rivalry week, so I'm considering switching it up.
It is rivalry week.
It is rivalry week.
Which is...
anything can happen.
Anything can happen on
anything
this
can happen
week.
On rivalry week. And if New Mexico State can beat Auburn, then anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
All right. Hey, listen, I'm going to jump into the first dipper, military buyback. So let me hearken you back to when we were on the air a couple years ago talking about the number of military personnel that were being axed for not taking a shot. Now, I caveated it then, and I'll caveat it again now, that I get the fact that their orders are orders, and I can't tell you how many shots I've had to have before deployments, but I can also tell you there were some that I avoided. And don't think this is the first time it's happened. Remember the anthrax shot? That was a really good idea when it came out. Where is that now? Oh, yeah, it's gone. Why? Because it was a really bad idea. That's why. And the anthrax was, if I recall, was a multi, a multi-pronged, you know, shot or vaccination. And they only caught me one time. but all that to say, what the military did during the COVID vaccine was unconscionable. It was the Biden administration having a captive audience that it could sort of prove itself. I'll show you, here's how good it is. I'm making the whole military do it. It didn't matter that people had religious exemptions. It didn't matter that civil liberties were cast aside. This became not a question of following orders. It became more a question of, do I lose my civil rights, my liberties, when I put on a uniform? Now, you do lose some of your freedoms, if you will, when you put on the uniform. The good order and discipline of the military requires you to be told to take a hill. You take a hill. You don't stop and question it. There's got to be a sense of following orders and doing things. But you know what? When you're in garrison, and when it's considered experimental, and when there are questions about whether it came from stem cells, and people want to ask for a religious accommodation, and they're blanket denied, then you have a problem. So much so that lawsuits are still underway right now related to the inability of the military to, for some reason, accommodate the simple request for a review on the grounds of a religious accommodation. And let me ask you this. How much harm was done to the rank and file? Well, you know, in the vast scheme of things, it was really only about, 4% of the military that had to go. Is that all it was? How many, like the friend of mine, who dropped his papers and got out willingly because he just wasn't going to let himself have a record that said he was discharged unwillingly? How many people chose not to be retained? How many people dropped their packet early? How many people said, to heck with this, I'm going to the house? How many people, by the way, didn't sign up? Do you know? Well, your recruiting's still in the tank, right? So how much harm was done to the psyche, the morale of the rank and file? And for that matter, how much harm was done to the psyche or the morale of the recruiting base population from which recruiters then go to work, who heard the way it was being done and the way people were being treated, and they said to themselves, I don't think I want to do that. I thought I was going to join to be a soldier, but I've talked to my mom and dad, and I don't want that shot, so I'm not joining. We will never know the full ramifications, but we can see some of it. And by the way, some of the articles you read talk about, well, the military is struggling with suicide in the ranks and sexual assault. No, it's not. Are there suicides in the rank? Yes, there are, but that's not the reason that recruiting is being hurt. Recruiting is being hurt right now because we have an administration that does not know how to lead, guide, and direct at all, has no clue how to lead, guide, and direct and to encourage people to want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. I feel like after almost 3 years, they have finally come out with an advertising effort that appears to have, you know, a little salt. It appears to actually be worthy of watching. I don't cringe when I see the commercial come on. I don't have Susie Has Two Mommies, and I'm going to be allowed to be a part of a diverse community and help make the rainbow flag as important as the American flag. That kind of recruiting was just killing us. And then you add that to the COVID vaccine mandates and the unexpected inability of people to be allowed a religious accommodation, and they were crushing the soul of the rank and file. Don't try and talk me out of it, because it just was. In the meantime, I mean, I look at, and I'll lead off with this because it's not on point. It's because they're not on point that I bring this article up. All right, I actually could have put this into my next dipper, but I decided to go and do it now. Fox News has a piece that came out this morning. Defense Secretary Austin visits Ukraine as Pentagon urges Congress to pass additional aid to fight Russia. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin on Monday visited Ukraine, where he'll be meeting with Ukrainian officials to relay a message of solidarity with the Ukrainian people, expressing that America stands firmly behind the Eastern European country in its war with Russia. After an 11-hour train ride, really? After an 11-hour train ride from Poland to Ukraine, are you telling me that the Secretary of Defense can't just fly in? Fly to Poland, do a low-level flight, and come on in and land. 11-hour train ride? Anyway, the Department of Defense released a statement confirming that Austin would meet with Ukrainian leaders to bolster the U.S.-Ukrainian relationship. Austin's travel to Ukraine comes as the Pentagon continues to urge Congress to pass additional funding to support Ukraine's military effort. But y'all, they have no plan. I'm going to go ahead and reiterate my beef with the situation in Ukraine. When the invasion launched, I said then that we were looking at what I consider to be one of the stories of our lifetime. The fact that the Russian bear finally crossed over the line and took a military opportunity of its own accord into sovereign territory of another country. Not since Afghanistan have we really seen this. In a conventional fight, the Russian bear has marched across the line and the Ukrainians are smacking them in the mouth every single day. It is epic to watch. The problem that we have and the reason why the Biden administration is losing the support of conservatives is because we recognize an issue, but we see no plan. And they are throwing money at it, and you can't figure out what the plan is. They have no plan. And so I look at this and I say, okay, so you're wanting Congress to pass additional funding to support Ukraine. Tell us what the milestones are. Meanwhile, you can't even recruit. You can't recruit back up. You don't know how to get your military back up to where it needs to be, but you're desperately trying to fund all of government for Ukraine without a plan. He goes on and says, Austin did. He said, I'm pleased the passage of another continuing resolution has put off the threat of a lapse of funding. Its enactment will ensure that our brave troops and dedicated civilian workforce will be paid through the holidays. Yet I continue to urge Congress to pass full-year appropriations. Well, tell the Democrats that, sir. Which remains the best thing Congress can do for our national defense. Anyway, then he goes on to say, it goes on to say in the article, to date, Ukraine has received more than $44 billion from the U.S. and more than $35 billion from other allies and weapons, ranging basically every kind of weapon in the world. At a time when we can't recruit, we are sending tens of billions without a plan to a foreign war. I don't want Russia to win. I don't. I do not mind the idea that we're going to assist in that effort. I don't. Where we have a problem is we cannot see what the milestones are. How long? Well, as long as it takes. And that's not a plan. That's called an open checkbook. Meanwhile, we're going to get into it more when I get back. Recruiting is so bad that all of a sudden all those COVID vaccines that I led off talking about, oh, they just got offered a chance to come back in. Huh. Did you see that coming? I did. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Military Buyback. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, listen, I'm going to go straight into some of this, and then top of the hour, we're expecting a call from Jared Hudson. You've heard him on the show multiple times, former Navy SEAL, law enforcement officer, also runs an organization called Covenant Rescue Group that specializes in interdiction of human trafficking. Anyway, we're going to talk with him about the impact on the teams, the SEAL teams, and I look at some of this and just shake my head. So here's an article that came out on Task and Purpose. And by the way, I don't often go to Task and Purpose because I feel like it's overly critical of the military, like it's designed in some way to be, not objective. But this was a real article. This was good. Task and Purpose, dated 3 days ago, says soldiers who were forced out of the Army for refusing the COVID-19 vaccine have received letters with instructions on how to rejoin as the service faces its toughest recruiting environment in a generation. So let that sink in. So not only was the COVID vaccine poorly handled in the military, it wound up resulting in the separation of something like, I want to say, 18,000 service members overall, 8,400 of whom I think were from the, were actually 8,400 were separated as in terms of being discharged because of it. Now they're asking for them to come back. Hey, no harm, no foul. Sorry about that. You get it. I mean, policy. What do we do? No. So here's a quote from the letter. As a result of the rescission of all current COVID-19 vaccination requirements, former soldiers who were involuntarily separated for their refusal to receive the COVID-19 vaccination may request a correction of their military records. So first of all, tell everyone you know, if you know anybody at all, who was discharged from the service because of refusing to take the COVID-19 vaccine, they may have been given an other than honorable discharge, or at the very least, they may have been given a general discharge, which prevents them then from being able to receive education benefits. Tell them to get their records amended, because there may be benefits they're leaving on the table that they can have now that they couldn't get before. So the letter goes on to instruct soldiers looking to return to service to contact an Army, Army Reserve, or National Guard recruiter. It was not immediately clear to an Army spokesperson if soldiers who rejoined would return to their former unit or their MOS. Well, so I don't know about the same unit. I think the needs of the Army, but I cannot imagine them making you retrain. If you're an 11 Bravo infantryman, if you're a, I don't know, picture one, was it 31 Charlie communications guy? If you're a 18 Delta, if you're out there with an MOS that's specific and you're already trained, I would imagine they're going to take you back. And some of those, by the way, especially the ones that are very, you know, hard to get, or for that matter, took a number of years of training to get that service member ready, some of them are paying big bonuses right now. So go for the bonus too while you're at it. And then listen, just hold your own and request a reinstatement at your previous rank. So if you got out as a Spec 4 or an E6, don't settle for them saying we can bring you back as a, you know, an E3. No. You tell them, look, you're the one asking me to come back. Somewhere in the ranks, you need my rank, and I want to come back in, so find it. You're the one in the driver's seat now. They need you. They would not have sent this letter out if it weren't for the fact that they need you. And by the way, this article was sent to me by a service member. I hadn't even seen it. He sent it to me, and he said, what we're looking at here is the admission of an epic fail. I mean, the fact that they're having to do this is a clear admission that they really screwed up. And now they just really want you to come back. How jackleg is this? Says the letter also comes as the Army is dealing with a recruitment crisis. The servant missed its recruiting goal over the past year by nearly 15,000 soldiers. The Army has turned to offering sign-on benefits like bonuses and soldiers' choice of first duty station. They've also upped their advertising dollars. Earlier this year, the Defense Department suggested that 8,400 service members had been separated for vaccine refusal might be eligible for back pay, but officials did walk that statement back. I've got that article in here, too. I'll tell you what, let me just touch on this article, and I'll take that phone call for the break. Back in January of this year, there was confusion because we had Army Major Charlie Dietz made a statement that the Department of Defense was considering back pay if they reinstated anybody. But then they came right back and said, through Air Force Brigadier General Patrick Ryder, who's one of the chief spokesmen for the Pentagon, that as a matter of policy, keywords, as a matter of policy, they are not currently pursuing back pay. I think the back pay thing would have to be a question of basically legislation. Congress has to get involved. Let me take a call. I got about 1 minute. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing okay. Lightning fast, but I actually know people who have not just lost jobs over refusing to take the vaccines that they thought were unproven, but they also lost their security clearances.
Yeah.
Please get out there, use it as a springboard in gymnastics to try to get your security clearance back to where you are eligible for more jobs than you are right now.
Absolutely.
That's it. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Goodbye. Brian, great comment. Great point. All right, listen, as we head to the break, CNN had an article that came out just about a month ago, about 6 weeks ago, actually. Only 43 of the over 8,000 U.S. service members who were discharged from the military have sought to rejoin since the vaccine mandate was repealed. 43. And this one guy, and I'm probably going to rail about this again later, J. Stephen Morrison, the director of the Global Health Policy Center at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, there's a title, described the numbers as minuscule and says it hopes it puts the issue to bed. That's not the point, J. Stephen. That is not the point. The point is what you did to people's lives for no good reason. If they did it to one, it was too much. They ruined careers. They set people back in their opportunity to serve. They changed people's benefit status. And they just basically hosed civil liberties, and they downgraded military readiness, and they crushed recruiting. I don't care if it was one or the over 8,000. Either way, it shouldn't have happened. Coming up next, all goes well. We got Jared Hudson on the line. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.